Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you did, because Gary Moore is back with us. Gary is a longtime member of our Brain Trust and an old friend of ours and the author of a number of books that he's written, including Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton, whom we lost in the last couple of months or so. Also, Faithful Finances 101. Gary talks about ethical investing, and he's our good friend. Gary Moore, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Jim.
It's good to have you here. It's Veterans Day, Gary.
Yes.
And I know you join me in recognizing all of our men and women who have served and who put themselves, who've made themselves available to serve their country.
Absolutely. And I'm going to go one step further, Jim. I was at the end of the Vietnam, I was going to go to the Army, and I hurt myself playing basketball and was on crutches for a while. And by the time I became an officer, Vietnam was over.
Yep.
But I served in the National Guard. And it is just amazing to me. Back then, it was sort of a part-time job. But the National Guard and Reserves are playing such a huge role.
That's right.
In our current conflicts, that I'd just like to pay particular attention to them. I mean,
well,
it's particularly hard because, you know, a lot of military people, they take their families and so on, but the
yep.
Guard and Reserves, their families are at home, and they deserve special remembrance on a day like today, I think.
I agree with you, because they are truly citizen soldiers, and I write about that every Memorial Day. I've written an article about that. You know, remember the volunteers and the citizen soldiers and I appreciate you saying that. My story was very similar. By the time I got my commission, thinking all during the 60s I was going to wind up being in Vietnam, by the time I got my education and my commission,
right.
I was the war was the last thing they needed was an infantry lieutenant. But my son, speaking of reservists, my son
Nobody
spent...
Nobody needs an infantry lieutenant, Jim.
Well, apparently so. But, you know, my son spent two tours in Iraq as a reservist.
Is that right?
He'd already been on active duty before the Iraqi wars, war and the Afghan war, but he was in Iraq two terms as a reservist. Well, I appreciate
thanks,
that.
Jim.
Well, we thank all the... And, you know, the thing that I like to think about, Gary, and I've been my theme today for celebrating Veterans Day has been based on the word availability. You know, you and I were not put in harm's way. It just was the way it went, the way things went, the chronology and everything else. But we still made ourselves available, whatever our country wanted us to do, and millions of people served on many different levels in the military, and one thing they all had in common, they all should be honored for, is they made themselves available to go where their country asked them to go.
That's right. You know, but the thing that really strikes me, Jim, I was watching last night, I don't know if you saw the special about people lining up on bridges and a road, it's called the Honor Highway or something like
right.
that, when a soldier is killed and brought back for interment.
Right.
But the attitude towards soldiers, I remember back in Nam when, you know, we were considered baby killers and
yep.
all of this
mm-hmm.
just because we went to Nam. We didn't really have anything to do with starting it or continuing it or whatever. But the
right.
attitude, people today, it's wonderful that they can, even if they're opposed to the wars, Jim, they
yep.
are respecting our men and women over there. And I think that's a terrific thing.
Well, I think it's just an example of how ignorant and berserk the times were back in those days,
were a little nutty, weren't they?
They were, and they're out of control, and a lot of priorities got completely misguided, and a lot of people were hurt because of all that, and there's still a lot of bad signals. But not today. We celebrate. Everybody celebrates our men and women, and even all those that missed that opportunity back in those days. We celebrate them. John, I got John. Templeton on my mind, Gary. We lost a treasure, a national treasure, a few months ago, and there are going to be some memorial services for Sir John Templeton, aren't there?
That's correct. I'm going up to Princeton, where he chaired the Princeton Theological Seminary for many years. He did not attend Princeton, interestingly enough. He was a Yale man who went to Oxford on a Rhodes Scholarship. But then he got connected with Princeton because of their interest in ethics and so on. So they're having a memorial service on the 22nd at the chapel there, and I'm going up for that. And I'm just looking forward to seeing his family.
You were a disciple of Sir John's.
Oh, he was an absentee father to me, Jim. I lost my father early to cancer, and John filled that void in my life.
Yep. Well, that's pretty cool to have a guy like that. Sir John Templeton, ladies and gentlemen, was one of the great investment philosophers, and really, I think that's a good way to say it. Investment philosopher is not only just an investor of the 20th century. A lot of people learned from him. We're going to come back and get Gary to help us understand what's going on in this economy today. 22, stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you'll check those out. Use them to your advantage. Don't forget the Small Business Advocate site is brand spanking new. Same address as we've had since 1997, but the website's new and exciting. It's not new and improved, ladies and gentlemen. We jacked the old one up and ran a brand spanking new one under it. So I hope you'll check it out and use it to your advantage. I think you'll like some of the stuff you see there. Gary Moore is our guest. He's our good friend, the author of Faithful Finances. And we're talking right now. I want Gary to talk to us about what's been going on. Gary, this is I've been observing and involved in and impacted by economic downturns all the way since 1969. That was my first one.
Okay.
The one thing where this one is different from all the others, not the size or the duration or anything the one thing where this one's going to go down in history is different from all the others, is that there's no credit generally available. In the past, the economy was helped by the fact that when people felt a little bit more prosperous, they could always go out and they could find some kind of credit instrument to help them make a purchase.
Right.
But today, it's not like that, and that's going to exacerbate this problem, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, Jim. I'm looking at a chart here. Just happened to pull it off of the internet this morning, and I'm looking at bank loans as a percentage of our national income, all the way back to 1970, and there's a trend line. And long story short, in 1970, bank loans were 30% of GDP.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, GDP today is about $14 trillion, of course.
Right.
And this year, it began, we were 50% above that. And the trend line is roughly we should be about 40% of that. It's natural to, as an economy becomes more efficient, Jim, we can handle more debt, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we got carried away on the debt side, and we're going to have to pay for that for a while. I mean, not only were we not saving, which is, you know, we've got to get back and increase our savings, but we were actually going in debt further and further. And all of that's unwinding, Jim. And it's the oddest time. I've been, as you said, been doing this a long time, and I've never seen anything like this, because the odd part is there's lots of money out there.
Yeah, Forbes cash. Magazine, there's plenty of cash, isn't there?
Forbes magazine ran a chart not long ago, Jim, that said there's $12 trillion of cash sitting in banks and T-bills just waiting to be employed.
And see, that's my argument, Gary, when I had a guy on yesterday who thinks we're going into a depression. I talked to a senior partner of a significant accounting firm in Washington, D.C., who thinks we're going into a depression. I've argued with both of them, and I said, guys, when we had the depression in the 30s, there was no cash.
That's the difference.
Today we're awash in cash.
Yeah.
Just nobody wants to let it out, and so all that we have to do is open the doors. Isn't that the biggest argument against a depression?
Yes, Jim. I have clients right now with millions of dollars earning nothing. T-bills are what, 0.25%
yeah.
or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got money, it's just they won't do anything with it. And if you take those clients and their tendency to close their hands around their money
right.
and not lend it by buying bonds and so on, that's in essence what the banks are doing as well. So everybody's
right.
sitting on all this money and what we call monetary velocity, I haven't seen statistics on it, but it's got to be very, very low levels. Nobody's got any trust in anyone, which is what, the word credit is from the Latin word to trust.
Yeah.
Nobody trusts anymore that people are going to give their money back to them.
Well, that trust thing, that's the other reason, that's the other argument that I've made about the not having what we'd call a depression, is the classic one, is because I actually think John McCain got a bad rap when he said once, that the fundamentals
yeah.
of the economy are good. The
yeah.
fundamentals of our economy are good.
It's
millions of people are working. Millions of people own homes who won't go into foreclosure more than ever before. People have all kinds of technology and gadgets and cars we got lots and lots of stuff. Nations are communicating with each other,
yeah.
Et cetera. We got all this stuff, and it's just not going to be. It's not going to be like it was back in those days.
Well, there were two economies, Jim.
And the trust, but I was just going to say, Gary, the trust issue, that's what's the problem. It's not the real estate we live in. It's the 5 inches between our ears where the problem is.
Well said. There were two economies, Jim. There was the regular economy of producing goods and services, and then there was the financial economy. And Greenspan just created money that the hedge funds and the
yep.
banks and so on would just recirculate, and we call that earnings. And everything looked great, except it just wasn't producing anything in the real economy, and that's what's unwinding right now, your
yep.
hedge funds and leverage banks.
They added no value. They made money for themselves, but all they did was build a time bomb, and it added no value to anybody else in the marketplace.
That's exactly right. It was almost like if you have it, visualize a tree, Jim. And in essence, mistletoe is a parasite. Remember you
right.
get that at Christmas?
Right. Right.
And what happened is that mistletoe just got larger and larger and larger until it began. At one time, financial services accounted for 40% of corporate earnings in America. It was 10% when I got into this business. And all of that's unleveraging right now.
Yep.
The point I wanted to make, though, I just got another chart off the Internet that shows monetary supply, the amount of money in the economy, the Fed is increasing it at a 40% annual rate right now, Jim.
How could that be anything but inflationary?
Well, it's going to be, and let's talk about that when we come back.
All right, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with our good friend Gary Moore. Be sure to check out this book, Spiritual Investments, folks, by Gary Moore. It's still one of my favorites in my library. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back.
At least the mystery is gone.
Won't you come away with me? Oh, where we are.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and visiting with our good friend Gary Moore, the author of Faithful Finances 101. And all of his books are available wherever books are sold. Gary, also give us your website, please.
Financialseminary.org.
.org. Check that out when you get a chance, folks. You'll learn more about ethical investing. Gary, for a long time I've been saying, I have to admit, I didn't exactly know specifically why I was saying this, but my instincts were telling me that Wall Street was working at cross purposes with Main Street. And I've been saying that for 3 or 4 years now without being able to put my finger exactly on where the problem was, me not being a Wall Street guy and all. But here's what I've decided, Gary. The difference between Wall Street and Main Street is Main Street believes in itself. Small business owners in Main Street believe in themselves. We believe in our customers, our marketplace. We believe in a free market economy. Wall Street doesn't believe in anything.
Please, making money.
Am I right? I mean, of any. I mean, in terms of values, have there been any values in the last 10 or 15 years on Wall Street?
Well, among the old guys like John Templeton, John Bogle,
but they're not running. They're not running Wall Street anymore, Gary.
Well, not anymore. No, and that's
no. I'm talking about in the last 10 or 15 years.
No, and I told people when I left the street and started to go to seminary, the reason is in the temple of Wall Street, if it makes money, it's right. If it doesn't make money, it's wrong. And that's in the short term.
And on Main Street, Gary, you can make money, but if you don't add value, you don't last.
Let me give you another good book to read, Jim. It's called The Puritan Gift. The Financial Times ranked it one of the most important books of last year. And what it's about is how this country was built on Judeo-Christian principles, number one of which is you subordinate yourself to the welfare of what we call stakeholders or your customers, your employees, and so on as management. And as you go through the book, they go all the way back to the founding of the country, how that started our early businesses, bring it all the way up. And in 1960s, we developed what they call the cult of the expert, which comes out of the Harvard Business School and so on, who basically said that, you know, CEOs should take care of themselves. And we've discussed this before. And they said basically that world is blowing up, just as Peter Drucker did when he wrote Post-Capitalist Society in the 90s. These wise old guys saw all of this happening and nobody listened. Of course, young people never do, and young people run Wall Street. But long story short, everything these guys predicted is happening. It's very natural. And Peter Drucker says that we are in one of the most profound changes since the days of Plato. That's what he said back in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
And that's what's causing all of this turmoil and uncertainty we have. But we're actually moving to something better, Jim.
Well, tell us, give us some good news. Leave us on a high note, Gary.
Well, what everyone says is we're going to go back to the time when business people make money by serving the needs of others.
Adding value.
Adding value, exactly. And that can't be a bad thing, Jim.
That's the reason why, Gary, I've been saying that Wall Street and our government got us into this mess. Main Street, small business owners are going to lead us out of it.
Well, we're not totally blameless, Jim. I asked people, I said, okay, if the problem is that everybody's making money and not worrying how to do it, what thought have you given about your retirement plan, your IRA, and so on?
Yeah.
And the only thing most people know about that is, geez, it makes a lot of money, you know, and that's what this movement called social responsibility, which, by the way, is what Peter Drucker said in the mid-90s was coming. And that's what this whole movement in Wall Street is about. It's about 10 to 15% of Wall Street right now that really thinks about how they're making their money.
What do you think our economy and 21st century capitalism is going to look like over the next 10 years?
Oh, I think it's going to look a whole lot better. Drucker calls it the socially responsible organization, and you're seeing it now. Look at all the companies who are being green, environmental. They're including charity in some of the work they do.
Is the government going to be more involved than it has been?
What I'm hoping, Jim, is that the banks become more involved in finances, because there's a reason we put guards on banks and we don't on donut shops, as Adam Smith would have told us. We've got to regulate the banks, if you will.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping they'll leave Main Street pretty much alone.
Well, I'm hoping so too, but I'm worried about that. I'm worried about the government's involvement in the marketplace.
I have a feeling Washington understands where the problem is, though, Jim.
Well, they are part of the problem, though, Gary. That's the thing. I don't even think they know that. Hey, Gary, thanks for being here. Good job today.
All right, buddy. Good talk.
We'll see you next time. Gary Moore, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.